Hey! Na-na-na! Na-na-na! There you go! Whoa. There it is, NFL Australia. What's going on? I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy here in Larry Armour Studios. I'm pretty tired, dude, I'll tell you that much. Having a three-week-old, not going to recommend it. I mean, I'm going to recommend it in general, but just, you know, day-to-day, fucking hell. Anyway, on the other side of this here iPad, it is a bloke. Went for a bit of a run last week. He'll be the first to tell you. Don't worry about it. It's like, what's the opposite of Fight Club? If you run a half marathon, you got to tell everybody, right? It's sometimes singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He's your mate. We are very proud of him. It's Gaz. What's going on?
Mate, I went for a run and then ran into a group of vegans, and it was just us talking in a circle about shit that we did and didn't that we are for a couple of hours. No, I did a run. I did a run, Jimmy. I did a half marathon on the weekend. That was great. And then I got drunk and woke up just in time to see my Eagles play. And that went well as well. So we should probably talk a bit about that and that how sounds, the Eagles are going.
Sounds good, because, I mean, you are literally decked.
For you.
You are decked like head to toe in Eagles gear at the moment, so... It's like that moment in Wayne's World where Garth is just head to toe in Reebok. It's just sad, you know. It's just sad. 100% you and an Eagles gear. I love it. Week four in the bag. Rough one to start off the week with the Tua brain injury. We got a double doinker in London. What is that? Double doinker, the sequel. London has fallen. We had game-winning field goals everywhere. We had a bit of a weird barn burner on Sunday Night Football. We'll get into all of that. We'll wrap up week four. Week four for you. There you go. And set up week five. We'll do it quick as well. This is the thing with the new squid dose. Squid two, the squiddening. It doesn't mean we have as much time to sort of get through all this. So we will do.
Through these.
We will do what we usually do, though, which is wrap up all your NFL needs in one dumb, drunken NFL Australia package. I'm on the tins tonight just to put myself to sleep later. Anyway, let's get into it. Gaz, episode 54 of NFL Australia. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Hey, this is Chris Collinsworth and Patrick Mahomes. I just jizzed everywhere. You're listening to NFL Australia. All right, guys. Jesus, that was weird.
It's just delirious.
Who wrote that?
At this time of night, Chris, it's just fucking delirious.
Chris Collinsworth. I didn't enjoy it. He was literally just like, pants
he
around his ankles,
just, yeah.
Just skate off the top level, like out of a House of the Dragon, whatever the fuck it's called. Just, you know, jacking off into the people below. That was a weird game, too. We'll get to that in a second. But look, we usually start this show with some random thoughts. I think Gaz did them last week, which is pretty fun. We can tag team some of these. So week four happened. Bit of crazy shit. We got Tua at the very start. So back on Friday, Tua gets slung around to that Cincy game. One other thing out of that game. You know I love my uniforms, Gaz. Tell you what. Cincy going the white and black. You're like, that's kind of cool. You got white and black Tigers. It's kind of sweet. And it's like, all right, can we just go full hardcore color rush with Miami then? It just wasn't quite as poppy as it ought to have been. It was still pretty good, though. I'll pay that.
Yeah.
I have heard people like complain, oh, well, it's the Bengals. It could have just been any team just wearing black and white. It's like, yeah, but it had tiger stripes. Like, that was fucking cool. Like,
yeah.
I'm just saying. Anyway, his head hits the fucking ground. Big sling tackle. That sucked. We'll talk about this again later, but he shouldn't have been playing. What are we doing here? Like,
no.
Seriously.
Yep.
Javonte Williams... ACL and MCL?
Yeah.
Not great?
Yep.
Cordarrelle Patterson?
Gone.
Oof. Not great. Not ideal. Danny Dimes? Tyrod Taylor? Gone. It's just the week. It's like the week of like, all right, cool. Let's get in our third string QB. That happened in the Pats game as well. Brian Hoyer got slung. Didn't want to come back in. If I'm Brian Hoyer, that's a good business decision. Fucking he might play another 5 years just because he didn't go back in. JJ Watt. What's happened there, Gaz? What's happened?
So he came out, decided to get ahead of it and came out and made a statement that some private news had been leaked about him, that he was going to get ahead of, and that he'd had a heart arrhythmia, and basically had to have his have a bit of a jump start, Jimmy. Bit of a tweak up, bit of a jump start to get him just to get him back on pace. But he still came out and like literally a pacemaker, and then literally came out and played. Got a bit teary in the press conference.
Yeah.
Fucking came around a rider as well. But yeah, I mean, that was pretty obviously personal. But when you're a celebrity and you're a sports star, something affecting you like that is probably going to come out. So anyway, he's back. He's in. He didn't miss a beat. Well, literally, he did miss a couple of beats. And that was the problem. But he's fine, mate. Hopefully he's fine. Go, JJ.
Did you have that written on the back of your hand, that one? That
was, no, I didn't. I am literally that fucking lame. That sort of shit just comes to my mind.
And Dak has got his stitch out in his thumb, and he wants back.
Yeah, and some of the fans are like, let's stick with Cooper.
Just saying. Jerry Jones is kind of like, oh man, I don't know what I've got myself into here. That's kind of the injury gear. London, that was pretty fun. And there's also like a very fun sort of a very American approach, guys, of people going, wow, I can't believe how much fun that English crowd is having watching an NFL game. It's like, yeah, because they're all fucking shit-faced, you idiot. Like, this Americans just don't get this. It's like, because they get drunk and they get angry and they get in fights. Like, the English, very Australian approach, we obviously take it from there. I'm just like, we're just drinking to get fuck-eyed. Like, that's a lot of their vibe. You go out in London, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, having lived in America for, like, there was, like, a moment, I think we visited London, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years in. And you just forget, because you're just hanging out in America. Where everyone's like, you know, oh, we're just here to for a nice couple of drinks with some pals. You're like, all right, fucking nerds, I'm here to drink, let's go. And, like, visiting London, you're just seeing, like, shit-faced 19-year-olds, like, staggering around. You're like, oh, I've kind of missed this. And, yeah, so people being surprised that the crowd at an NFL game, a pro-sporting event in England where you can drink. It's like, oh, geez, that's a bit of a rowdy crowd, isn't it? That's pretty weird, pretty nice. Like, no fucking shit, dickhead. Jesus. Americans gas, I'll tell you what. Anyway, that was a weird game as well, that Saints-Vikings game. The Vikings shouldn't have won it, but did.
No.
Double doink it from the Saints at the end.
But yeah, what I really fucking hated was the color commentary after the game. I heard it way too many fucking times. You know what's just really good? It's really good that it came down to a kick when we're playing in England. You know, one of those countries that loves the beautiful game. They actually kick their balls over there. So the fact that this came down to a kick was just, you know, fucking poetry. No, it wasn't.
It's called football.
It fucking wasn't. It was a missed kick. How many games come down to a kick? There was a good chance. It was going to do it.
There was a moment actually during the game, like Mark Sanchez was on the call. He of the, butt fumble. And he's like, wow, you know, this crowd is really getting up and about, like when they're kicking the ball. It's like, all right, fucking lay it on a bit. Yeah.
Fucking on a bit.
Oh, look at
them.
They're just losing because they kicked off. Fuck off, idiots. some other weird games. Colts stink. We'll get into that in the sort of wraps and whatnot. Seattle, Detroit, that was a fucking chaos game. I love that.
Mind blowing. Yeah.
Pittsburgh stink as well. Mitchie. Hey, looks like he's packed
up. Run the bench.
Bit of a tough one there. Can he pick six? I think his first throw in the NFL was
he hasn't thrown
it wasn't
an incompletion.
Pick six, it was intercepted.
He has not thrown an incompletion because it's either been a pass to his own teammates or the other team. So
we had a bunch of game winning field goals, either whether it was missed in that Vikings Saints game or Green Bay winning on a last second field goal. Buffalo winning on a last-second field goal. Atlanta winning on a field goal by Younghoe Koo with a couple of minutes left, but that kept them, put them ahead, I think, and won the game. Tell you what, after all this, we got a big creamy middle, guys. Big creamy middle.
I feel like you've missed one of the notes, Jimmy.
I'm going to get to that. I'm setting up. This is how the pros do it, guys. This is how the pros do it.
All right.
Because what Gaz might be alluding to is that there's one team out there, one remaining team in the entire NFL that is winless. And it's the Houston Texans. Can you believe
winless.
Because, with the Raiders getting a win, there's only one winless team left. Oh, of course, no. We're talking about Philly. The only unbeaten team in the NFL, which is chaos to me. But not really, considering I was almost jinxing them, I think, in preseason. I think Gaz was just fucking ropeable at me for bringing it up time and time again, how much I like Philly this year. And I was writing about them. I was talking about them non-fucking stop. Gaz's like, shut up, Jimmy. And it's like, no. Nah.
Come on, man.
Here we go, 4-0. So how are you feeling? This is your moment to shine. Go.
Oh, well, I'll talk about it in the wrap, but it feels pretty good because after the first week, the defense wasn't great. We allowed 35 points to the Lions. And in the last 2 weeks, 12 sacks, a couple of forced fumbles. Hassan Reddick himself, 3.5 sacks and a couple of forced fumbles. Shut down some good offensive weapons. Got to be kind of happy. Yeah, can't really expect too much more. Apparently that AJ Brown guy, not too fucking bad. Not too much of a slouch.
Yeah, it's kind of handy when you've got two fucking awesome receivers on your team, I think, right?
Yeah. Makes and then it's raining. Oh, we'll talk about it in a second. It's raining sideways. We're going, you know what? We're just going to run the ball just constantly.
And it was good. Amazing. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. Anyway. All right, let's fang through the rest of the games this week. We'll obviously start back on Friday. I was pretty heavy on the Bengals in this game. Paid off 27-15. Tua gets, you know, taken off. It was all very fucking sad and miserable and not great. But, I mean, the Dolphins were right in. It was like 14-12 at halftime. And then they just didn't score really in the second half. And the Bengals ran away with them in the fourth. But it was like that moment where the Bengals had to win this. And it was also that moment when you realize, the Dolphins probably aren't good enough to be 4-0. They had pulled two wins out of their ass the two weeks prior against, Baltimore and Buffalo. And, of course, playing on a short week, they go to Cincinnati. It was never going to be in their favor. And then they lose their quarterback, which sucked. Shouldn't have been playing. Yep. As it happened, you just, like, you don't want to be right when that sort of shit happens. And I'm always going to be, like, super fucking, like, anti anybody fucking around with concussions. Like, having had, you know, having been knocked out once or twice before in my life, playing sport, you know, just get you all wobbly, get you all fucked up. I don't want any bar of that. I don't want any other, you know, professional sports person. Yeah, it's their job. But at the same time, like, to be playing 4 days after you get up off the ground in that Buffalo game.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, got the old stumbles. It's like, oh, no, it's a back.
The back injury.
It's a back injury. As we talked about in last week's show, it's like, that's fucking bullshit. And then it turns out halfway through the middle of the week, they shit can the impartial observer from that game, right? The NFL's impartial observer, because he fucked up.
There were a number of mistakes made, Jimmy. Just a number of errors.
Yeah, he apparently just did it like with his hand over his fucking eyes going, Tua, are you there? Yes, okay, you're good to go back out there. What the
fuck
are
we doing?
The
whole point is to protect these guys from themselves, right? Now, but the weird thing for me afterwards, like, you know, had a concussion before, and one of the things I was told was, yeah, probably don't fly, because that cabin pressure, not fucking great for you. The first thing I read when it was released is, yeah, he's going to travel back with the team. Ugh. Like, oh, that's not a good idea. So then he does that, and then they come out with the, that's all right. He sat next to the coach the whole way home, watched MacGruber, watched the movie, and laughed the whole way through. He's going to be fine. Like, bright screens, cabin pressure at speed is not the kind of, it's not conducive to relaxing a brain who's just been smashed into the turf twice in fucking 5 days.
Yeah, not ideal. I hate every aspect of it, and the NFL should be fucking roasted for it.
How long should he be out by now, for now, right? Like, that is, like, do you just be overly cautious and say, you know, put him out for the rest of the year?
Yep. Just like, just the season or 2 months or just something where it's like, all right, can we check back in you in like 6, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, something like that, where you just go, right, time frame, do nothing, my dude.
Yeah,
just
exactly. Hang
out. Get good. Anyway, I hated it, and all the sort of fallout that comes with it always sucks. But
it was gross.
Look, maybe it just sort of, you know, kicks the NFL's ass into gear a little bit more about concussions. Over to merry old England, 28-25. The Vikings win a bit of a shit show game. It was not great, guys. It was kind of like Justin Jefferson was doing shit. It was pretty fun. Dalvin Cook was, you know, out there. But, Jefferson, I think, ended up with like 147 yards. But it was kind of like a weird mix of primetime Kirk, because it was like the only game on because it's in London. So he's kind of shitting the bed. Shitting over himself, shitting over his team. But because it wasn't actually prime time, he kind of just pulled it out in the end.
Yeah, he doesn't have all the attention,
So they end up just eking it out, and the only reason they sort of get away with the win is because, Will Lutz is the Saints kicker and double doinks.
I, fi- I feel like we've mentioned, we've discussed the Saints three or four times already and have neglected to mention the red fucking rifle. The red rifle was starting, Jimmy. We had.
Talk about injuries. Like, Jameis has got, like, a weird fucking, like, broken back. And they're kind of like, oh, yeah, maybe we won't play him this week. He's like, no fucking shit. So Taysom Hill in the red rock and Andy Dalton.
Yeah. But anyway. What was he, 20 of 28? It's not like he actually was okay. But, I mean, this Saints team the whole fucking way through this season has been surprisingly not great.
Yeah, it's just like, this is kind of what I was fearing with this Saints team. Like, there's like a lack of coherence to the offense, like especially around Jameis, because I feel like this has been the Jameis story the last couple of years, right? Like, I feel like when he was on Tampa Bay, there was at least sort of direction for him. And ever since, it's kind of been a bit slipshod, and like, there's fucking weapons on this Saints offense, right? You've got Kamara, you've got Olave, you've got Michael Thomas, you've got like Landry, right? Like, you've got weapons, and it just doesn't feel like it's going to click. And then there'll be a weird moment, though, trust me, like this season, where it will click. And you'd be like, hang on a second, how the fuck are the Saints like just rattled off like four wins like under the radar that we just weren't paying attention to?
Yeah.
I think last week and this week with the two ones where you're just like, yeah, they're definitely going to lose these games. Or was it to Carolina last week and to the Vikes in London? And here we are. So they're 1-3. Vikes 3-1. That feels right on both counts, I think. I had better hopes for the Saints, but as soon as Jameis got banged up, you're just like, yeah, pack her up, boys. You got no Sean Payton to coach your way out of this.
The other fun thing is that I hope everyone remembers that the Eagles have their first round draft pick next year.
Yes, so everybody remembers that, guys. Not
Eagles
just Eagles
are currently sitting at number 4 in the first round.
That's pretty good. Falcons, they hold on against the Browns. This is a weird one as well. I think so. In our game previews and in the preview I was writing for Code, looking at this, you're just like, yeah, this seems very set up. Like, Falcons have one of the worst run defenses in the entire NFL. The Browns have the best run attack.
Yep.
Should be simple. Nothing's ever simple when you play Atlanta. No. Not this year. They're 2-2. The Browns are 2-2. You can't trust the Browns. Never trust the Browns. Falcons win at 23-20. As I mentioned, Younghoe Koo with the game-sealing kick with a couple of minutes left. And, like, Chubb, what? Ripped off 118, had a touchdown. It was just a bit of chaos sort of left, right, and center, and the Falcons won it in the fourth quarter. Like, so weird.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it for a couple of weeks that this Falcons team has a bit of spunk, as we call it. You're right. A bit of chutzpah. Sarah, unfortunately, Cordarrelle's gone down, right? So he was that Swiss Army knife that was really driving that offense because, you know, let's face it, they're still underutilizing Pitts. And London's still a rookie. I mean, he's doing what he can, but Mariota's never going to set the world on fire. But you got to respect that run game with Mariota's legs and Cordarrelle there. Now you're missing him for the rest of the year. There was a chance back there that the Falcons might squeak out, you know, six wins, seven wins, just a few ones that they, you know, the close games that they'll get over the line and then play spoiler down the down the runway to the playoffs, but that's going to seem a little bit unlikely because their defense still fucking stinks.
This game definitely feels like, cool, we won one in front of our home fans.
Yeah.
Now we're not going to win again for the rest of the fucking year, right? 100%. Yeah. Cowboys, they beat the Commanders, the Commies. 25-10, smoked them, really. Like, didn't even feel that close. It was like, I don't know, like, they sort of hung around and then Cowboys sort of ran over the top in the fourth, but I don't know. Cooper Rush is good. Zeke Pollard, they didn't do a giant amount, but like CeeDee Lamb was good, and they sort of just kept them at arm's length. It felt like the entire game, right? The Commies just never really felt like they had a chance.
No, they're just keeping it. They've adjusted the offense to Rush and not putting everything on, you know, Dak throwing 350 yards a game and feeding Zeke, and it's just working, right? That defense is smothering. And Diggs, I think, had another big one, and Micah's just in everyone's face again. And Wentz, from the week before, gave up 9 sacks because he holds the ball too fucking long. So put Micah Parsons in front of that, and it's...
Yeah, he only got sacked twice, right? This week. It's not bad. Because I think
Only twice.
Yeah. But I think the interception he threw to Trayvon Diggs, right? It was almost like It was like Diggs was almost like the receiver. It was a really good interception. But B, it's like Wentz is throwing into double coverage. Welcome back, Carson.
One of my favorite hobbies at the moment is just on a Monday afternoon, just spending some time in the Commanders subreddit. And so at the moment, it's a very dark place to be a Commanders fan, because at the moment they want to sack Turner, the offensive coordinator, sack Del Rio, the defensive coordinator, sack Ron. They hate the new fucking uniform from this week. They hate the fucking name. They want to replace Wentz. They want to replace the O-line that's letting the defenses get to Wentz. And they want to chuck Dan Snyder off a fucking cliff. So it's a pretty dark place there, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with them about the weird sort of uniform thing. Like, can we not do that when it's like you're playing like Dallas? Like, give us like at least... like a happy sort of traditional matchup there. Like, you save that fucking weird uniform for when they play like Tennessee or some shit. Like, a game that no one gives a fuck about. Anyway,
there's also a weird one out. There was a weird photo from the center of the field where Dan Snyder met and had a photo opportunity with Jerry Jones, and Dan Snyder just happens to have worn a blue and white suit. One, his Commanders are playing the Cowboys. Like, fucking tone deaf, dude. I don't understand
No one ever accused Dan Snyder of having his finger on the pulse.
That's fucking true.
Seahawks, they beat the Lions 48-45. I said that right. 48-45. I love just looking at the Seahawks scoreline. It was like 14-10, 14-10. So that's by quarter. 14, yeah. 10, 14, and 10. That is unreal. The Lions were missing, like, players, but... then you point out that they were missing 3 offensive weapons. It's like, well...
yeah, I know. That was
the offensive players aren't
thing.
Giving up 48 points on defense, yeah. Gaz. I'm just saying.
Amon-Ra St. Brown and fucking DeAndre Swift have been both going off, both out of this game, and still put up 45 with Goff.
So
that's
much.
Fucking mind-blowing, right?
He had 4 touchdowns. It was incredible.
Yeah, and then for the Seahawks, fucking Rashad Penny.
151 yards, couple of touchdowns. Yeah. He was awesome, so...
yeah, he had absolute more. Chaos. He has more rush yards this game than he has in like the first 3 combined.
So Detroit, right. I think we don't really sort of talk about them later in the show, but I feel like Detroit are the sneakiest 1-3 team out there, because it feels like they've won. It feels like they're 3-1 because everyone's been blowing so much smoke up their ass about being so fun, but they haven't won any of these fucking games.
Nothing, right?
It's great. Anyway.
Yeah, everyone, and you just kind of, I know a little bit of it is the Hard Knocks effect, but. Like, there's just so many people just cheering for them to just knock off a couple of big ones, right? Like, just collect a couple of scalps. Don't beat up on an even shitter team. Like, get one of these close ones just over the line and just like, oh, fuck, we were the team that lost to the Lions, were we? Yeah. One of those.
My thing is, like, I'm still going into this season, so the Hard Knocks effect was so just... pronounced that people are like, oh, you know that they could win the division. It's like, you know, they're in the NFC North. Like, they are much more likely to come last in that division than fucking win it. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And guess where they are right now, guys? Last in the division. Anyway, bit of a tough one. Yeah. It's like, oh, they could be a sneaky playoff team. I don't think so. Like, the NFC is not that great. But, I mean, yeah, DeAndre Swift is a really good story. Amon-Ra St. Brown, awesome story. Still 1-3 and losing to the Seahawks.
Find me a Seahawks fan who tells you they knew they had 45 points in them in any game.
Ask Geno Smith, and it's like he would have gone. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe you know Geno Smith is out there, writing some more letters. He's writing back. He's not writing back. No one knows what he's writing. Titans, another. Divisional matchup. We had the AFC South Colts hosting the Titans. I nailed this pick 24-17. Just you can't trust the fucking Colts as far as you can throw them. And Derrick Henry ran right over the top of them. Matt Ryan looked pretty good. He threw for like over 350 yards, I think, in this one too. So anyway, I think I watched approximately like 2.5 minutes of this game, and that was it. I'm like, nah, don't care. Titans are going to smash them. They're like, they scored the all 24 of their points in the first half. And I'm like, cool, yep. Don't need to watch this. They finished the game with 24 points and it didn't matter. It's like, okay, yep. Good job, Titans. Set a tone early, run Derrick Henry, score all your points and then sit back and cruise. Another game I didn't see fucking much of at all was the Giants-Bears. All I saw was Saquon taking snaps on the center, which was kind of fun. And a whole bunch of Bears ineptitude. Oh, geez. 20-12, the Giants win this. It was that moment, I can't remember if we mentioned this on the show last week, but it was just that weird, gross, like, the enemy of my enemy is still actually my enemy, and it's like the Bears-Giants, like, one of these teams, whoever wins will be 3-1, and it's like the least deserving 3-1, and here we are, the Giants, 3-1.
Yeah, anyway. It was. It is actually when you know your vintage shit that you love, Jimmy, and you talk about old school matchups and things like that. The Giants actually wore a retro uniform to this, and it was fucking great.
Looks
and
good.
Then they bought out football styles from the fucking 70s and 80s. Right? They've like got no receivers.
40s. Absolutely. What are you talking about? Fucking, 70s from the 40s and 50s. This is like leatherhead shit. So
that's it. They were running like three tight end sets and bootlegging fucking Danny Dimes out the opposite way and running him in for touchdowns. And then obviously everyone goes down, so they're direct snapping to Saquon. But mate, they're right now, when they get some teams with some proper weapons, they've just got no receivers.
Yeah, Giants
fucking
are like
no one.
The Giants are like, talk about how we were talking about Atlanta and you're like, oh, they might not win another game the rest of the season. Yep. The Giants have now got that 3-game sort of win title under their belt.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if they win like 2 more the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And like, because they've sort of got everyone off the scent now about how bad they are. Just saying, go against the Giants the rest of the way. Especially this week where they playing the Packers over in London. So anyway.
But Daboll's been creative, right? Yeah. He's just playing to what he's got.
It's also handy. Saquon in a contract year as well is pretty handy as well. So he's shorted into a comeback player of the year, like to almost unbackable territories. But was one of those obvious ones staring you in the face. It's like he and McCaffrey, if they stay healthy, like they should run away with it. But anyway, your Eagles beat the Jags 29-21.
Yeah.
Classic Eagles, right? Go down, come back, stay up, hold on.
What's been the opposite of what's happened this year so far, right? Like the last two games, we haven't scored in the second half. Once again, exactly what the Titans did. Put up 24 points and then take the pressure, you know, the foot off the gas. And, mate, fucking Hurts threw a pick six and then Agnew got in and all of a sudden we're down 14. And you're like, oh, geez. And that was it. It was just like a flick of the switch. And they didn't score again until I think it was the last and kind of it was almost done at that point. But the story was the weather. It was fucking out of control. And obviously Dougie P's return. But Trevor Lawrence gave up a pick and five fumbles.
Was it five?
Four, total takeaways. Yeah, five total takeaways. So,
one interception, four fumbles, right?
That's it. Hassan Reddick forced two of them. But it was kind of, you know, they asked about the weather after the game and Hassan went, I'm not going to sit here and use that as an excuse because we played in the same fucking weather as them. So anyway, good times. Nice. Glad to get away with that one.
Yeah, it was definitely a trap game for the Eagles as well, right? You got Dougie P coming up.
Dougie coming up.
You do have like just shit weather and you just never know what's going to happen in those games. No. But this is one of those games where it's like, oh shit, if we can win this one, then there's nobody that we can't beat, I reckon, in any situation.
I mean, there was a couple of also good moments in that. It was all, what's going to happen when Dougie enters the stadium? And he got a standing ovation.
Of course he did.
After the game, there was a hug in the middle of the field with Jason Kelce, and Kelce got his jacket. So he got the souvenir jacket. And then there was a big hug with Hurts, and Hurts thanked him for, he goes, you're the reason I'm here. Aww. And they asked him, stupidly, they asked him in an interview, what did you mean by you're the reason you're here? And he's like, he drafted me? Like, he is literally the reason I'm here.
Amazing.
Anyway,
the Jets, they won a game. They beat the Steelers. Oh, we're going to talk about this again in a second one. But 24-20, Zach Wilson, he's back.
back.
He was out there smashing backs, his mum's best mates and whatnot. He's had to get all that work in. He's got that dog in him. It's just a weird game. Like, they came from behind to win this one.
Yeah.
I think it was I'm pretty sure they were down in the fourth quarter. And, yeah, they were down like 10. So 20-10 going into the fourth quarter after Pickett runs in a touchdown. And then Zach Wilson sort of gets them the win. Like, it was pretty crazy. So one of those moments when you have, oh, shit, Kenny Pickett, cool, welcome to the NFL. They bench Mitch. Kenny comes in, 3 deceptions. Not an ideal start to your NFL career, just saying. Quarterback rating of 28, and you're like, oh, geez, that's pretty bad. Then you remember Mitch had 7.5 as his QBR. He played like half the game. That is unbelievable. But anyway, so the Jets are 2-2. They're kind of feisty, and now they've got Wilson back. They'll sort of do this on the odd occasion when they'll pop up and win a random game. Bills, they beat the Ravens with a last-ditch field goal. It was the only point scored in the fourth quarter. This was a weird game. It was like Lamar versus Josh Allen, but it didn't really quite feel like that at times. It was like a bit of a struggle. Ravens jumped him at the start.
20-3, was it? At some point? Yeah.
20-3, and you're like, oh, fuck, the Bills are... this is the exact game that the Bills always lose. Guess what? They won this one, especially on the road in Baltimore. Good team. But that Baltimore defense is just not there at the moment. So that's how you come back. So big win for the Bills, because had they have given up the ghost in that, they would have been 2-2. Ravens actually would have been 3-1. But there you go. Flip it up and reverse it. Give it the old Missy Elliott. And here we go. Chargers 34-24 over the Texans.
Your boy's back, mate. Your boy is back.
Yeah, didn't let that doctor anywhere near him with that fucking needle. And here we go. Slinging it. Slinging that thing. That was the thing. So I had Houston in this, in our picks here in this his show, just because didn't trust the injury list for that Chargers team. It's also that thing where you go, sometimes it doesn't really matter because there's still just more talent, even with those injuries on that Chargers team, and that's exactly what happened. They just smoked it. Look at 27-7 at halftime, and sort of never looked backwards. Damien Pierce, though, I'm just saying, another really good week, another 130 yards, another touchdown. He's been one of my big sort of plays for Offensive Rookie of the Year. And, just because of the sheer constancy of being a running back versus, like, Chris Olave or, as you saw, Drake.
Also,
like, Olave's been awesome.
Being a running back on a shit team, mate. Exactly. You're going to get fed the ball.
Kenny Pickett, as you've seen, like, it's a bit tough. Thrown to the Wolves, but anyway, Cardinals-Panthers. I feel like I watched a shit ton of this game out of nowhere because they loaded that front schedule, and so I think there's only 3 games going later in the day. So 26-16, Cardinals ran over them in the last quarter. Hollywood Brown looking good. Kyler Murray and our man Cliff Kingsbury don't really look like they're on the same page a lot, but
no.
It's a handy win for the Cards. Thought the Panthers would have stood up against this weird, fucky Cardinals team. They did not. So Matt Rhule still just like 1 foot out that door, I reckon. Beloved.
How was Baker, the booze from the crowd for Baker?
Because he played like shit. That's one thing I should mention. He was just bad. Like, it's one of those things where you go, look, I've got a bit of Baker belief in me, guys. How I roll. Don't mind a bit of Baker. He plays a game like this, you're like, he fucking stinks. He's like the opposite of the Trevor Lawrence games, where like Trevor Lawrence can have a game like this week, and you go, look, it was just a bit of a rough one. But, if we don't have like the shitty weather, he'd be fine. Baker would just do dumb shit. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like Trevor Lawrence, he will still just amaze you. Baker just hasn't amazed me for a while now,
Yeah.
It's a bit of a worry. Yeah, QBR of 7.4.
Oof.
You played the full fucking game, guys. Anyway.
Jesus.
Yep. And McCaffrey, look, he's already banged up, and it's just like, here we fucking go, right?
So, starting to appear on injury reports.
Yep. Anywho, that game sucked. A game that also kind of sucked, but didn't. My beloved Patriots gave the Packers all they could handle. I cashed out a bet early in this one. It was a weird game.
Jimmy,
but we can...
I thought you were going to get a fucking pole axing, but
we
you
also,
didn't, huh?
We also stole a touchdown where The play clock very was gone for what, like a 4 Mississippi. It was sitting on zero, and then we got a touchdown out of it. So if we had have pulled that out, I would have felt kind of just like, yeah, I don't know about that. So it was a bit of...
Mate, you're a betting man. So what would have been the odds on fucking Zappy being the first rookie quarterback to score a touchdown this year? Because he was...
That is one of those ones where you look at it, there weren't too many rookie QBs who were really sort of predicted to come out. But when you've already got, when you got a third stringer behind Mac, behind Brian Hoyer, it would have been an easy like 201-1 for first rookie touchdown.
If you were
like
his family member, you just put like fucking
10 bucks on that.
10 bucks on it.
But, so Zappy comes in. So no Mac, obviously, with his high ankle sprain. Brian Hoyer gets slammed to the ground. I'm watching this going, fuck, that was a big hit. And they're like, yeah, he's not coming back in. You're like, no shit. He won't be able to fucking see straight till next week. Like, holy shit. We've just seen this happen with Tua. Like, just sit Brian Hoyer. That motherfucker's old as well. Like, what are we doing?
Yep.
Anyway, so Zappy comes in and didn't look too bad. It's also one of those moments where you have the realization that quarterback play in the NFL at the moment doesn't feel like it's great.
Yeah.
Where third stringers can sort of come in, or a Cooper Rush can come in and just look... If you're vaguely fucking competent, it feels like, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like if Jameis Winston was vaguely competent, I think the Saints would be a bit better. Anyway, so we force it to overtime. The defense on this Patriots team is like sneakily okay. The draft is pretty good, I think. There's a couple of names sort of floating around. You're like, fuck, I don't mind this with a bit of Matthew Judon in the middle. And kept the Packers just at arm's length all the way down. They get to overtime and then boom, they just had enough in them to get into range for Mason Crossbar, and he fucking nails the goddamn field goal. And it was like that horrible moment of like, as soon as I cashed out the bet where I think I had the Packers to win, I think I cashed it out. I'm like, cool, I've made my money. Now I want to win. And then we fucking lose. So a bit of a tough one. But look, this will be the Patriots year, right? They'll be in some of these weird games. We quite don't expect them because the defense is good enough and the running game is pretty good between Ramondre Stevenson and Damien Harris. Other games, we just won't be able to keep up. But I don't know. The Packers don't look world-beating either. I'm just saying.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
Anyway.
My favorite statement about that game, or about Zappy in particular, is that Zappy looks like the guy who plays Mac Jones in the movie about Tom Brady.
100%. I love it. That's so good.
I'd like to take credit for that, but Twitter was gold for that one.
Broncos, they lost to the Raiders. Raiders finally get a W on the board. This was a wild game. It was like
really
weird. Does anybody want to win this kind of vibes? Like, you got Russell Wilson with the apparently fuck shoulder, like on the sidelines with the big heat packs on it. Raiders sort of just slinging around. But then, was it a Melvin Gordon fumble that they ran back for like 70-odd yards? Was it...
This guy had four in the season so far.
It's crazy. And, so if you've got him in fantasy, I hope you're not starting it. I think he was minus points this week, which is always pretty hard to do. But the Raiders, they looked a little bit crisper, and this was like the game that we sort of predicted, right? Like, backs against the wall, desperation game, you got to win. Division opponent. And if you lose this, like, your season's basically over because you've got a double win and a double loss in this one if you don't win it. And it's a big fucking hill to climb, so they pulled it off. Devontae Adams, it's like they realized that he existed. He had 100 yards, and Josh Jacobs ran over the top of everybody. So,
He was like, Jacobs had a bit of a breakout, and like he was like a steam train. But what fucking annoyed me was Rusty actually started to look a little bit like vintage Rusty. There were some nice deep passes to Judy.
A couple of minutes there, right? Yeah,
right? Flashes. And then it got down to the end of the last drive, and I'm like, all right, it's an uphill battle, but you can fucking get into range here. Here we go.
Checkdowns, weird shit.
He like threw like the... Man, there was I was one in the flat where it was like he was the release valve, and he just threw it straight over the top of his head out of bounds. And then the last pass to, I think it was Boone across the middle, like just to keep it alive on fourth down, and it was straight through his hands. And you're just like, this just Broncos team is not, they're just not clicking yet.
Nah.
So, but will it be too fucking late? They're still 2-2.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
We feel
like every week we've been talking about them being
They pulled those two wins out of their ass. And because of it, like it sort of sets sets them up to like at least try to maybe get on the same page, and they should be good enough for the rest of the season. That I think one of my tips was like going to this year, like over 9.5, Broncos should get there, because I think Cream Puff's schedule for the most part throughout the first 10 weeks or 11 weeks, and then like their last six are like either division opponents or good teams. So they had to have a good...
What a division.
They needed like the springboard to then at least try to go like 2-4, 3-3 in their last six, and they'd be over 10. Yeah. It's not looking great at 2-2, but
no,
still there, just saying. And then finally, last two games, prime time, we had Sunday Night Football, Chiefs-Bucks, weird game. 41-31. The over-under on this was like 48.5 points, because you had, what, Hurricane Ian, which got downgraded to Tropical Storm. Yeah. You think, well, it's going to be muggy, it's going to be weird. This will be a low scoring. Nope, 72 points.
Yeah.
What the fuck? The Chiefs came out like just on fire. They looked great. What was it, 28 in the first half? And there was like, it felt like there's a huge, massive batch of scoring basically in the back half of the second quarter.
Oh, and Mike Evans came out angry and just decided, I'm going to catch anything that's within somewhere near 10 meters
I'm around. Jump over everybody as well. Like, yeah. It was jump ball territory. I loved it. He had 103 yards, 2 touchdowns on 8 receptions. He looked great. And Brady just looked that much better having Mike Evans out there as well. Godwin was out there again, which is kind of nice. No, Julio didn't play, did he, I think?
He did, but he had like one catch for 12 yards or something like
that's
that.
That's why I didn't think he played.
But still, when you're looking at, you're relying on guys like fucking Gage and Julio as your third and fourth. I mean, Godwin's not quite peak Godwin yet. Yep. But if these guys, if these guys get healthy at the right time, like you want to, if you're going to be injured and gimpy, you know, sometime where it's all going to be at the same time, do it early in the season, right? Yeah. Get hot late. So if these guys can get fancy, I mean, that defense has been, you know, it's kept them to 2-2. It definitely hasn't been their fucking offense.
So the Bucks,
that's what I think was surprising, that I know it's Mahomes, but like that D got 40 points of it on it.
They couldn't do anything. They couldn't, like the problem for the Bucks was they couldn't run and they couldn't stop the KC run. It's like the exact opposite of what you would have expected, right? Like the KC couldn't run because the Bucks defense was so good at stopping them. Nope. It's the exact opposite. And they just, because they could, they just fucking smashed it wide open. Mahomes was just, you know, doing those weird sort of flip toss touchdowns and shit to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and just a little bit of chaos ball, and like that's when the Chiefs thrive, right? And like if the Bucks are going to let you just sort of get away with that shit, then you should lose, and Chiefs run away with it. Bit of a reminder that, the Chiefs, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And sorry, I just channeled my dad there. And last one, Rams Niners, 24-9. This fucking broke my heart today. Because over on CodeBet, we had the Jimmy special, the wide receiver battle, the NFC Championship Redux Director's Cut wide receiver battle, and Deebo Samuel versus Cooper Kupp. They both went over their receptions. Deebo Samuel, basically, he went over his reception yardage and got the touchdown all in the one play, which is fucking incredible. He then spent the next 2.5 goddamn quarters bemoaning Matt Stafford not being able to throw Cooper Kupp a fucking touchdown. And so that was the one extra leg in the old code bet. Same game, multi of the day. Bit of a tough one. But Stafford was shit. And this game was like this weird sort of mix of the Niners defense is awesome and Jimmy G just does enough. And it's like, oh, that got them to a Super Bowl once. It got them to an NFC title game last year. Like, we're going to talk about this again in a second, but 24-9, the Rams not being able to score a fucking touchdown. I also love that this is now the Rams fans realizing, oh, so this is why Allen Robinson has been on as many teams as Allen Robinson has been on.
You know? It's just like, we had it to 2 receptions or something today. Was that
he was just in bad spots. He was in bad places. He missed stuff. He was shithouse. But also, Stafford just, this is maybe just a bit more of a testament about the Niners' defense, right? Like that they just fucking had pressure and Stafford's fucking ball sack like all game. So anyway, statement game from the Niners. You love to see it. Shanahan continues his dominance in McVay. I think they've played 12 times now. That's 8-4 for Shanahan. So, of course, McVay has the Super Bowl win last year, but still. Yep. Anyway, so there you go. There's all the games. We actually did cover Rams Niners. We did forget them last week in the preview.
Oh, we forgot to tip them. Yeah, that'd be my fault.
Anyway,
you don't trust me to do responsible things, Jimmy.
Some really quick yeah nahs. Are Pittsburgh the worst team in the NFL right now, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago doesn't have much leading them up front on offense, but you can't trust anything the Steelers throw at you right now. Like, it's a dark place as a fan. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks with a new starting quarterback.
Yep.
But with Mitchie there, you were just like, both them and Chicago are fucking uninspired. Yep. But at least you said, you know, Atlanta, Seattle, Houston, they just show a bit of fight at times.
Pittsburgh should have a bit of fight, but sometimes when you don't have an offensive line at all, like it's very hard to have any fight. So.
Exactly.
Let's skip a couple of the, we'll push the Eagles ones to the end of this one. Jimmy G, can he take this team to the NFC Championship again and stay in San Francisco for the future? I like that one, Gaz. Yeah,
man, I was like, I don't know. What do you reckon, right? They had Lance. Even if Lance was in here, he was going to have to be on a short leash because this is a win now team, right? They've got that defense. They've got, you know, peak Debo. If he's there and he's good enough and he leads you to two NFC Championship games in a row, even when you tried to drive him out of town, is he the guy? Like,
this is why it's so frustrating with the Lance situation, right? Like one week and he hurt and you just can't judge anything by it. You can't move on from him. You can't trade him. You've already given up a shit ton. Like we all know the opportunity and sunk cost and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
But Jimmy G, he's just so handsome. Anyway.
But it could have been a worse situation. They could have fucked him off and then this would have been a completely lost season, right? So they've done the right thing. It just doesn't make the decision next year any easier.
True. Is this the year of the creamy middle, Gaz? Oh, the creamy middle. This is the Chris Collinsworth creamy middle. Oh, Patrick Mahomes.
It feels like, some of these divisions, you look at the East, and apart from one undefeated, there's 2-3-1 teams, unconvincing 3-1 teams.
Yep.
But there's a lot of 2-2, and you just feel that we've got a lot of teams that we're still week in, week out going, I just don't fucking know who these guys are.
Yep.
Right? Look at these Colts team who go out and knock off a behemoth 1 week and then shit the bed the next, right? These Lions, as we know, could play spoilers. So I think the division games that come at the end of the year, there's going to be a lot of shuffling in that creamy middle, as you so lovingly referred to it.
I'm fascinated by it, right? Because you've got your unbeaten Eagles, and as I said at the top, right, you've got Houston, who are winless, but to be honest, probably could have won like two of those games. Probably should have, actually. Everybody else is kind of like, at least we'll put up a fight in most of these games and we'll probably play spoiler to pretty much anybody else apart from, like there's teams that you sort of look at and go, Green Bay, Buffalo, they'll round into form. KC are awesome. Yeah. We all understand that. But then you look like, I think the entire NFC West is 2-2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Fuck, that's literally the four-way creamy tie, middle. Yeah. you're all in the fucking middle. Anyway. Right. Let's play to your strengths here. Is Jalen Hurts the NFL Strayer, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson Memorial 4 weeks in MVP winner? Yeah, nah.
Yeah, look, I think, it's hard. Is the favorite pick. And I'm not going to lie, Jimmy, last week I put a sneaky 10 on the Nikki Sriracha Coach of the Year, Jalen Hurts MVP. Not bad, paying 37s. No, I mean, but if you take, apart from that defense that he's struggling with, like, it's pretty hard to go past the season that Lamar's put up thus far, right? Like, he's been pretty out of control, but it's running at a pace that doesn't seem sustainable. So, look, if the Eagles continue this and make a deep push to the playoffs, but look, let's be honest, when Josh Allen was all that in a bag of biscuits, it didn't get him the MVP either, did it? Right? Like, just because you're the superstar of a winning team or the hot team, a nice story doesn't always win you an MVP, mate.
Yeah, you do need a narrative, but sometimes like the narrative can be, I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And it's like,
I'm not Rusty Wilson.
Yeah. Tough one. Yeah. Yep. It does feel like, so the Jalen Hurts, like the joke is the Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. Oh, fuck. Are they the MVP front runner?
Because
in all the years we've been doing NFL Australia, you sort of have the 4 week, the 6 week, the 8 week moment where, you know, the MVP chatter starts. It's like, yo, just nobody that cool anyone gets talked about this early in the season ever wins it. So just everyone settle down.
Two months ago, we were talking about whether Jalen Hurts was going to keep his job or whether the Eagles were keeping two first round draft picks to draft the quarterback to be his replacement. I don't reckon we should go
hog wild yet. Don't plan the parade. The thing is as well, right? So Hurts and Lamar are the two biggest movers in the MVP markets as well, right? Yep. Like coming all the way in. So love to see it. Can the Eagles go undefeated?
Look, I definitely don't think we're going to go undefeated. We're not that strong a team, top two, bottom. We do have a couple of tough games coming up. I wouldn't be surprised to see us drop a division or two later in the year. But I think they'll just go hard to, well, fingers crossed, secure the division first. But yeah, there's definitely going to be a few testing games at the end that I'm really looking forward to.
Do you throw that game against the Giants at the end of the season if you are 16-0?
The tanking. Maybe. I don't think. There's so much hatred in this division, I don't think they would. But I would like to cast everyone's memory back to two seasons ago when we were talking about the Dougie P tanking game. And that tanking game that's led us to Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, and the Giants fans should be really angry that they got Tony out of that.
Love it. Right. Good bloke of the week. Bloke, you want to buy a beer? I've got two. It's obviously Bailey Zappi. Maybe I should buy him some Baileys. Irish Car Bomb. How's that sound? Oof. Tell you what, there's not many things that will get you drunker quicker than the Irish Car Bomb. He was awesome. I really enjoyed that. What is he?
Yeah,
Western Kentucky or something, whatever the fuck it was. Some weird little school.
Pleasant surprise, mate. I hear you had some guy at, like, what was he, $2.99 or something that was actually a bit of a pleasant surprise once upon a time as well.
Yeah, we've done all right out of very late drafted quarterbacks.
White,
I guess,
quarterback draftings.
But, because obviously he was fourth round, wasn't he? Something like that, I think. Fourth round, 137th overall, so pretty
there
fun.
There you go.
So you want to buy Zappi a beer because, shit, like all they kept saying about in the, I think Tony Romo was doing that call, I feel like, that Green Bay Patriots game's up. I'll tell you, Jim, it's when you're in that opposing end zone and you're trying to get out of the, I'll tell you, Jim. And it's like, you got to have the composure. And, like, he actually looked all right, so I'll pay that. And the other good bloke I've got is Bobby Wagner, like, wailing on that fucking streaker. I'll talk about this again in a second, but I love that. So who have you got?
Yeah, mate, I just had the, Zappi is the obvious one. There's been a few villains this week, but there was no one that you just like, you took that over. So I'm going to give it to the cart driver who drove DK Metcalf off to take a massive shit during the game. I didn't think it's a joke, but it was like, and DK's response on Twitter is worth a laugh as well. But when you see a guy who's not injured, all of a sudden sitting on the cart to fuck off, you're like, I don't know what's happening. There was Lamar's poop gate last year. That was last year, wasn't it?
Yep.
Well, and
maybe
now we've got
before, actually.
Yeah, well, maybe, yeah. Well, yeah, it's now. It's time flies, mate. And now we've got DK. So I'm going to, mate, this could have been disastrous on the field, so give it to the cart guy.
Love it. Yeah, and like what he tweeted out, I wouldn't have made it. The clinch walk wouldn't have helped.
The clinch walk wouldn't have made it.
Last one. Mate, no mates. Who's got no mates this week? Me, just everybody on Miami should just fuck off. Like all the medical staff, everybody involved with putting Tua back out there. Like, it's contact sport. You're going to get hit. Doesn't mean you should like throw him back out there after he's been hit that badly and then just sort of go, he's fine, man. Oh, nah, he was laughing at our movie. That means he is fine. Fuck off.
Yeah, all exactly.
All of you, go get fucked.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm literally got a couple of dudes with literally no mates this week. first one for me is Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator of the Lions. Their offense is number one in scoring in the league, Jimmy. 35 points a game through 4 weeks, including against this, Eagles defense and a few, reputable teams. They're putting up 35 points. But their fucking defense can't stop a runny nose, mate. Like, he's got no mates, definitely, in the city of Detroit. The other one is Bears kicker Michael Badgley, who gets signed by the Bears off the practice squad for the weekend to replace Santos. Comes in, kicks literally every one of their 12 points, and then gets cut the next day. Literally no mates. Right? And finally, Antonio Brown's wang. Oof. Like, no one wants it, mate. No mates. Off your total.
Yeah, just get the tackle out in the old hotel swimming pool. I don't feel like that's a great look.
No.
And like this is why, you know, the Tua concussion thing is important. I feel like Antonio Brown is like a walking fucking endorsement of why you need to sit somebody down from CTE. Anyway, unpopular opinion of the day, Gaz.
Yeah. Oh, that was me, wasn't it? The Chiefs and Packers are about to go on a tear and prove all the teams wrong who overinvested in a stud one wide receiver. And you just really need a bunch of mediocre dudes, because it seems to be working when you can spread the ball around. But there's one condition, Jimmy. Apparently you need a generational fucking quarterback talent. But look at them. They've both got rid of some pretty handy wide receivers in Tyreek and Adams. But they're just spreading the ball around to like hardly superstar names.
It does sort of up your degree of difficulty, right? I think for the quarterback. It's like, how good are you? It's like, all right, turn chicken shit into chicken salad, away you go, right?
Yeah.
And the good thing is, like, for the Packers and Chiefs, their quarterbacks are generational all-time greats. So,
yeah,
pretty handy if you got one of those. I'll pay that, actually. It's not too bad. Like, because it's one of those things that being a Patriots fan, it's like, if you've got a generational QB, all you need is like a fucking Julian Edelman across in the slot. And if you've got like a half-decent tight end to catch the ball like Gronk, Gronk might be one of the, if not the best tight end of all time, then very close to it. But in terms of like the speedy wide receivers we got by for years were just like sort of the random pickups, right? And it's like, you can spin it out as long as you've got a balanced attack. So
yeah, and Peyton did that. There's a few guys who looked like superstars. Obviously, you've got your Marvin Harrisons of the world and your Reggie Waynes, but there was just as many B, C, D level wide receivers who looked shit hot when Peyton Manning's the one lobbing him the ball and go somewhere else for a big contract and fall off the wagon, right?
Yep, that's the Patriot way, that one. Australian spotty. Okay, the Australian player watch, the little Aussie battler of the week. Who you got?
Mate, Big Dixon Energy. Spotted many times on the sideline. You know why, Jimmy? Because he had the fucking day off, because the Seahawks literally did not punt this game.
Do I still get paid?
Yeah, I know, right? That was the most easiest job in the world. In fact, his uniform wasn't even dirty. They didn't even sweat in it. The helmet still smelled of like fucking Glen 20. That was fucking genius.
I need to go. Outback Takehouse. Today's Outback Takehouse. Eagles, they're going to go undefeated.
Can you stop talking about us? Like,
I'm
going to
keep talking
about
it. I'm doing this 100% on purpose. You know that. But no, I don't want to, have that as the Outback Takehouse. I do feel like, so the Bobby Wagner hit on the streaker, this is like a long-held belief of mine. It's like, that's fine. If you enter the fucking field, the Andrew Simons of the world.
I was about to say the Andrew Simons.
Jabbing me and dad, like just fucking wailing a motherfucker. I don't give a shit. Like, you've entered the field of play. Guess what? These are giant fucking humans. They can do what they want just to avoid you doing some dumb. Like, who knows if like someone is not going to get Monica Sellest, right?
Yeah.
So my thought, and this is Outback Takehouse, is that the athlete should be fucking proactive and actually just fucking jump this and go, nah, before he, pulls another fucking lap and then swings by and gets, stabs somebody in the kidneys, I'm just going to take this motherfucker out as hard as I possibly can. And guess what? I don't think you'll see too many more people doing it, Gaz.
Yeah.
If you get Bobby Wagner just wailing on motherfuckers, guess what? It's going to make that next person who thinks they're going to it's a smart idea to jump the fence. They'll make them pause just that little bit. So, and to be honest, most of my grievance with this is like, you're not streaking if you're wearing clothes. Like, if you're naked,
he was protesting.
I think I'm
he
actually
fucking protesting.
I'm fine with you doing it if you're naked and it's fun. So, look at that. Somebody's naked. That's good. Look at his wang doing the dangles. And then if you're just like some cockhead who's running out on the field and you're fully clothed, you're doing something with a flare, whatever, bang, see ya. Good night, left, yep. Right. Pack her up, boys. Don't try it again. Just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, hockey, whatever. Like, hockey's a bit fucking hard.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Big fucking screen to jump it. But at the same time, like, anything like that, AFL, like, just have at it. It's the cricket, obviously. You see it a bit of, you know, we saw there's, like, the random kid who, like, wandered. The kid who wandered onto the field in the college football game, just, like, clearly off chops. Just, like, going, fucking wow. It's pretty sick. The game's going on, and security are like, yo, what are you doing? And he's
what
like,
what are you doing, man?
What? Oh, fuck. And then just sort of crash. And it's like, oh, shit. It's like, yeah, nah, just get one of the athletes, just take him out. Anyway, Captain Fantasy, I pulled out a win out of my ass, I think, this week. I did not have a great one, but I managed to beat Matty. Gaz.
Mate, Brett had to send me a message today, just went, that was a pretty big rogering you gave me this week. And I did it all with Rashad Petty's 28 points sitting on my bench and Matt Stafford putting up a sinker. So, yeah, that was good. So we're both sitting 3-1, Jimmy, and first to fourth are all equal games in the NFL Australia Champions League.
It's pretty good.
What do we fucking call it?
League of Legends.
League of Legends, that's it.
Well, yeah, the NBA, NFL Australia Legends League. So... I think Juice is still loose last week. I managed to beat them in week 2, I think it was, and they put up 160 this week,
fuck,
which is a pretty big score.
Yeah.
Which pretty big. But yeah, you still had the biggest winning margin though this week, so
yeah,
over Brett, so sucked in.
Love to see it, Brett. It's Eagles fan versus Eagles fan, mate. That's fan on fan crime, that is.
That's good. Let's do some previews for next week and get the fuck out of here. Let's fly through these because I am tired and need to go to sleep. We have Indy at Denver for Thursday Night Football. I don't want to touch this game with a barge pole.
No.
Oh, gross.
Fucking hate both of these teams.
Denver at home, sure, fine. So we've both gone Denver -3.5. Can you trust either of them? Definitely fucking
not.
Indy on the road, no chance. Denver, I guess, whatever.
And Jonathan Taylor's a little bit hobbled, so he's questionable. Oof. So if he doesn't play, then that's, Jesus, fuck. Yeah.
Yep. Still wouldn't.
Unwatchable.
Wouldn't put actual money on that. Giants go to Green Bay, which is actually in London. So
yeah,
Green Bay, 7.5-point favorites on a neutral field. That feels right. Cause
I
think
like this. I'm sorry.
That half point is a bit much, but I still think they fucking smash the Giants. They're a substantially better team. The Green Bay defense is pretty good, guys.
They are. Look, yes. Look, Green Bay are a far superior team on paper. However, the Giants have been playing these scrappy games. They've kept close. And Green Bay let you guys push them to overtime with a third string. So, I'm not sold on either playing up or playing down from either of these teams. But you can't. I mean, it's Green Bay. If you're going to put money on something, it's going to be that one.
Yeah.
Like, I think I'm going to have more faith in Green Bay smashing the shit out of the Giants than I am, you know, the Giants. Danny Dimes being able to go with fucking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it is like the 7.5 just annoys you because you're kind of like, oh, yeah, this feels like a 21-14 game where Green Bay just sort of pull it out of their ass. But I still also trust Green Bay just to win it by 10. You know, it's like, cool, 30-20 or like fucking 24-14, away we go. Seattle go to New Orleans. The Seahawks are 5.5-point underdogs against this Saints team. I can't trust this Saints team. So,
all right,
we've both gone Seattle.
Whoever's given the 5.5 points, have they actually watched a New Orleans game? I know I'm going to be proven wrong out of this, but like, like New Orleans, as we both said earlier, at some point we just feel that it's going to click. They just have not shown any of it yet.
No.
On paper they've got the weapons, but fuck.
Like
it
if Jameis,
it could be the game that Geno Smith shits the bed because he pulled one out of his ass last game.
Yep. If Jameis was like halfway healthy, I'd sort of probably lean with New Orleans in this one, but I just can't. Not with 5.5. Buffalo, they host Pittsburgh. 14.5 points. It's the biggest line we've seen so far. It's a lot of points, but we've both gone Buffalo because Pittsburgh is shit. And I think that's where it is. Like even with the Buffalo's, you know, defense kind of not being great. I think they can still probably handle the rookie, even if there's a couple of weapons on that Pittsburgh sort of, you know, between Najee, between
George Pickens, like maybe Deontay Johnson and stuff. Maybe. But no, I think Buffalo kill him.
Yeah.
Like it's going to get, it's like a 31-10 game, right?
Yeah, it feels like a lot of points though. But yeah, I'm with you. Oh, you can't trust anything that Pittsburgh's putting on the field at the moment.
Yep, Minnesota, they host Chicago. Minnesota 6.5 point favorites. I loved that it was 6.5. I'm like, yep, they're going to win by a touchdown. So Minnesota in a heartbeat.
I just have this, once again, we have the same discussion every week. I just do not see where points are going to come from with the Chicago team.
Yep. Jacksonville, they host Houston. We've both actually picked Houston, which is pretty funny. They're 7.5 point underdogs in Jacksonville. This just feels like a trap game for Jacksonville, doesn't it? Like, everyone's been blowing smoke up their ass. They go to Philly. Everyone's expecting them to put up a really good fight. They do. They sort of jump out. They get home. Houston, haven't won a game yet. Just going to make it tough on you. That's what they do. This Jacksonville defense is pretty good, but oof, I don't know. I'll take the 7.5. It's just too many points.
That's it. And I feel like I've gone with Houston a couple of times this year, which is probably a bad sign for you because you've already beaten me by so many points. But I've just, the Houston defense is scrappy. So 7.5 just feels like a lot of points. I feel like I still think Jacksonville will win, but it just feels like that's a lot of points.
Yep. The Dolphins go to the Jets. We've both got Miami. They're 3.5 point favorites. That's with Teddy Bridgewater, presumably his quarterback. I think it's been announced that Tua is obviously out this week. So Zach Wilson, Teddy Bridgewater. I just like the weapons on Miami still. Even on the road, this does feel a bit fucky, but 3.5, I think Miami can pull that out. And so you have to.
I think, look, I've always had time for Teddy Two Gloves, and I just think with a week worth of actual game planning against this, like, they're plucky, but it's still the fucking Jets, man.
My fear is that Miami, that team that get out to like the really hot start each and every year, there's one of them, right, where it's like, oh shit, they're 3-0, they're looking pretty good, they got some
Carolina
weapons
last year, was 4-0 or something,
and it's just like, oh shit, here we go, and then it just all falls apart like really quickly, and you sort of turn around, they're like under 500. Could be Miami with the Tua problems, maybe just sort of spins him for a loop. But Mike McDaniels seems like a smart dude. He should be able to beat the Jets. Come on. Atlanta, they go to Tampa Bay. NFC South showdown. Atlanta, 8.5 points. You love that one, don't you? 8.5. It's like, yes, give me that. I'll take that. Even though Tampa Bay is just going to stomp all over Atlanta. That's what he does. 28-3. But 8.5 is just kind of like that perfect amount of like, Atlanta will make that tricky. And inevitably, it'll be like the fourth quarter and they'll be down like 14 and they'll get like a cheap touchdown out of nowhere and lose by 7. 100% guaranteed.
Garbage time. Yeah, look, I think the pluckiness of these guys will just... I'll go with Atlanta too. Once again, I think Tampa win. It's just the points.
Detroit, New England. We've both gone Detroit +3.5. This might be one that I end up switching around, but the 3.5 is just annoying. This is a game that New England, can they score enough to keep up with Detroit? Like, that's a horrible thought. But that's what I'm thinking. And it's kind of like, I'm just going to take Detroit because they might win this one outright. And if you can think a team can win outright and you're getting points, take them. So.
Who's starting?
Probably Zappy. I mean, if Hoyer had any sort of like head injury, then the NFL would be like, you can't start a motherfucker who's like under a concussion cloud right now, motherfucker.
No.
So, Detroit can put up points. Like, if they get Amon-Ra St. Brown, like, the Pats' defense has been pretty good. The running game, et cetera, is pretty cool. They might just tighten this one up and make it tough on Detroit, but to get points against this Pats team who have just looked fucking just like a mess, I don't know.
Yeah, I've definitely gone with Detroit for that reason, right? Like, I think that, I think Detroit offense will put up points, and I just don't think you have the horses to go with them, right?
Tennessee at Washington, we've both gone the Titans against the Commies. It was one of those weird ones. I'm like, this is the game that Washington just pulled out of their ass somehow. Then I'm like, ugh. But it's also Tennessee just running over the top of that horrible, like, Washington defense at the moment. And the Tennessee defense isn't too bad. The Washington defense is pretty bad. The O-line's horrible. So, yeah, give me Tennessee.
They've got some on the D-line, they've got some good tackles and they've got Montez Sweat. But once you get into that secondary, they are a fucking mess. So if Deza can get to that second level, I think Burks is out, isn't he, for Tennessee? The rookie's injured. But, you know, if Tannehill can be half decent, I just don't see from seeing them for the last few weeks how I can pick Wentz and the Commanders in any game moving forward. I mean, he shot the lights out for the first two games, but he's been fucking rubbish ever since. So, peak Wentz, right? They're getting the full experience, the full journey.
Chargers, Cleveland. Cleveland, I'm taking the Browns here, plus 2.5 against the Chargers, which I don't like because I love my Jazzy Herbs. We all know this. I just feel like Cleveland, after that weird loss to Atlanta last week at home against the Chargers going west to east, it just feels like this is a spot for Cleveland to either just lose this by one or two or win it outright. So I think they can run on the Chargers team. I think they'll have enough of a bit of a plan to sort of go in, run at them hard, use the chunt combo and just pull out a win, I reckon, or just a really close loss. I just can't trust the Chargers week in, week out.
No, I'm kind of relying on, well, you know, Juzzy was healthy and slinging it last week. Eckler finally clicked. And I'm kind of expecting Keenan back. He's been on the verge for a couple of weeks. So if you got Keenan Allen back to go with Mike Williams actually getting targeted, then I'm giving this one to LA.
Nice one. Niners, they go to Carolina. I've taken the Panthers plus 5.5. It's like the most dubious one I think I've picked this week because I think they're shit. But they have played all of those games like pretty close apart from Arizona last week. But that is also one of those things where you go, well, that, Jimmy, was the signs of the wheels coming off and Matt Rhule about to get shit canned. So this feels like the last gasp chance of like Carolina to like lose by three or so, four or so, cover that line. Because the Niners, I mean, until today, just like all of their games have been really fucking tight, close, shitty, grinded out sort of stuff. So you've gone the Niners. I'm taking the 5.5 points for the home team.
Yeah, I mean, logic dictates for me the Niners. I don't like the points. That annoys me for the exact reasons that you stated. But and right up until today's game, we were talking about how fucking garbage Jimmy G played last week.
Yep.
So we get to see if he can back it up or whether all of the emotion was in that that Shanahan McVay game, right?
Yep. So, west to east again, short week. I'm just saying, Carolina.
Yeah.
Philly go to Arizona. 5.5 point favorites, your guys. This feels a bit tricky. 5.5 is also an annoying line. On the road, especially Arizona, who won last week. I don't know. What do you reckon?
I didn't like the 6.5 last week. In fact, Jacksonville losing by 8 and not being able to cover the spread cost me a fucking lot, to be fair. We've had a number of games where they've allowed teams to come home late because we've jumped out to an early lead. I'm hoping that changes, but I've got to ride the hot hand, right? I mean,
Well, I've gone Philly as well. I think they... Just too good on offense for Arizona's D. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Dallas at Rams in LA. We've both gone Dallas plus 4.5. We don't know who's playing quarterback, but I think this is more a bit of an indictment about how shit the Rams look at the moment.
State of the Rams.
And that Dallas defense is fucking good. So
that's exactly it. That's why I'm. That's the points and keeping it close.
But it'll be a fun game though, because that'll be a late afternoon. It's so annoying that that's not the Sunday night game. We've got Cincy Baltimore instead on Sunday night. I've gone Cincy plus 3.5. I think they're just rounding into form. I feel good about it, and they've got a bunch more rest.
Yep.
Better game plan for Baltimore. They'll be on the road, but this is a division game. They know they've got to get it. If they're going to have any chance of actually winning this division, they need to win this game. You've taken Baltimore minus 3.5. I'm taking Cincy plus 3.5. This just fucking screams at me 21-20 or something.
Yeah, look, it's I wasn't comfortable with this one for the exact reasons. T. Higgins went off last game. The receivers are starting to come into form. There's gaps in that Baltimore secondary. We know not a great approach when you're playing three wide receivers. The skill set of Cincy, but I want to will Lamar over the line, really. That 3 points at home, that Hunt's an advantage is going to make it fucking tight.
The Baltimore secondary's got more holes in it than Swiss cheese. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, Monday Night Football's Raiders KC. Now, is this 16 games? Have we checked this? Because last week we picked 15.
Don't blame me and my horrible grasp of basic maths.
I think that's 16. Raiders at KC. So you've taken the smart route and gone KC -7.5 points. I've taken the Raiders +7.5 because what do we know, Gaz? The Raiders fucking playing KC. They just love it time after time after time. They're the guys who are like, you know, circling the fucking stadium in the bus and shit and all that sort of stuff. I just think the Raiders, it is weird though, because, you know, you don't have Rick Bisaccia, you know, as their interim head coach, or John Gruden. You've got Josh McDaniels, who's basically, he's got about as much fucking personality as a cinder block. And the Raiders, I just think though, they can sort of hang if it's going to be an offensive battle. And 7.5, it does feel like a late, shitty, dumb Raiders cover, if nothing else. So yeah, I'll take the +7.5.
All right. Yeah, look, I think KC just felt in this game against Tampa that they were kind of rounding into form. They're turning that, you know, a little bit of a sketchy corner to the team that we're expecting them to be. So if they're going to show a flex a bit of muscle, it's this time at this game at home.
Love it. All right, there you go. We've only got four different this week, which is a bit different to weeks past. I think this is a bit of Gaz trying to right the ship because I'm smashing him at the moment. 35-27 in the pick so far this season.
Ouch.
Annoyingly, though, I did do the reverse this week, Gaz, of not trust my NFL Australia picks last week, which was the right decision because I picked 7 correctly. You picked 6. I went 10-5-1 in my code bet picks. So,
ouch.
Yeah. So I'm like, fuck, what was I picking on NFL Australia last week? And I think it was dumb stuff like where in my actual picks, I had Seattle over Detroit. I think I had Atlanta over Cleveland. And for some reason during the show last week, I was just like, oh, no, these ones will win. Nah. And then I obviously had an extra day or two to think about. I'm like, nah, definitely. This way. So here we go. Anyway, 35-27 at the moment. So Gaz at the moment owes me 8 beers. So it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Not bad for 4 weeks' work for me.
I know. Fucking hell.
Nice one. All right. That is it for week 4 of NFL Australia. Everyone give Gaz a hand. He's gone for a big run this week. It's nice. It's pretty good. We're obviously weekly. You know, you'll have a tired Jimmy week in, week out, but that's what we do here at NFL Australia. A couple of tins, a bit of tired dad chat. Away you go. But, you know, chuck us a follow on the old Facey, Twitter, IG. Go check out CodeBet, which is my new gig. It's fucking fun as hell. It's got all, like, I basically do a massive, massive, massive NFL breakdown each week. Picks, preview, all that sort of shit, and then do a big rap as well. I try to be funny. What I do, you know, my job is actually writing, so just remember that. But that's pretty good. There's also, you know, the old, I tend to just lean on the NFL stuff because it's always fun to talk about odds and shit for that. So this multi of the week, multi of the day, same game multi of the day, etc. A lot of NFL ones popping up. So yeah, go check out CodeBet. It's pretty fucking fun. I enjoy it. It's great fun. Anyway, review us on what? All your podcast apps.
Oh yeah, all your normal shit.
On your iPod. Was that what I said last week? Yeah, that was good. Like that. Get on your iPod, bro. Give it a rate review. But either way, just rate and review us, would you? Helps out heaps. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. They rule. NBA Australia is back as well this week. Fucking stoked.
Look out.
It's pretty fun to be back, actually. I'm just like, oh, shit, that felt good. So, and because of that as well, I've got a whole bunch of other NBA shit kicking in, I think, as of next week. A bit of video content here and there as well. In some other avenues, which I'll be able to talk about next week. So that'll be gnarly. Gaz, what do you got to plug?
Mate, I'm going to keep doing Eagles Australia podcast for as long as we keep winning. So I don't want to do the losey ones. That's going to suck. But it's the inevitable, right? So, yeah, I'll be doing that tomorrow night. I'll be doing one reviewing this week's game, which went pretty well. Yeah, follow us on all the your socials where I just post random content and things that I find hilarious from the sad, sad states of things like Commanders fucking subreddits. Anyway, good times. Good times, Jimmy. And I might go for a run. I might go for a run at some point this week.
I was going to say, how far did you run?
This week was like, oh, was it half marathon? 21 and a bit on Sunday.
Pretty good. How did it feel running into the G at that point?
That was pretty good. To be, for those that know, the Melbourne Marathon finishes and half marathon finish in the G, and it was great. Fun story. I put in my playlist for the night before, timed it so Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill that the Eagles came in to the stadium at Super Bowl 52 was as I ran into the G, dude. Oh,
where's that?
Hold on, wait a minute. Where's... You thought we were finished. Where's Fuck
that?
Yeah.
Where's that mute button? Where is it?
Oh, jeez, it was gold, Jimmy.
Should have faded you out a minute ago. Yeah, all right. Sick. All right, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yas.
Later, Hosen.